morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's refreshing to see those kids up here and singing innocence and full of joy and smiles. And you know, that's something Jesus said, don't keep those little ones from me. And they're at that stage where they're learning who he is. And we're at the stage where we should know who he is. And it's easy for little ones that you see on the stage to be deceived. And Jesus talks to us, and God talks to us through his word, that the same applies to us. Because God calls us his little children. And sometimes we can be easily deceived. And that's what we're in 1 John. We've been moving through 1 John. And today we're going to be talking about testing the spirits. Because today, as we'll read in Scripture, there's a lot of deception in the world today. A lot of deception. And when I say in the world today, we think of it as out there. But there's a lot of deception in the church today. A lot of deception in the church today. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to be there this morning for a few of those verses. And I'll be moving through a lot of verses this morning, so I hope if you're taking notes, you'll jot them down. Most of them will be on the screen. 1 John chapter 4, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Test the spirits. You see, people many times are inspired or moved by spirits. Now, you won't see spirits, visibly see them, but what he wants us to do is recognize them. And people are inspired or they're moved by spirits, and when you see some things going on, you can always know there's something behind it. And that something behind it normally is a spirit of some sort. And he says, you know, many false prophets and teachers will enter the church in the last days and have. And, you know, really all you have to do is turn on the TV sometimes to see some of it. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11, he says, "But then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Key word there, many. He uses the word many twice. Many false prophets will deceive many. And that's a clear warning for the church, because he's saying many will be deceived by many of those false prophets. In 2 Corinthians, we read these words in chapter 11. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." That scripture there warns us that they won't always be obvious. That's why discernment is so necessary. Even Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, and so his ministers, his demons, will do the same. And we see it today. We see it today in a lot of pastors and teachers and preachers. And I'm not running them down per se, because I'm one of them. I'm just not one of the false ones. I pray to God that I never will be deceived to that point. But a lot of them, what we don't recognize is, will look righteous, will look godly, will sound godly, but they truly aren't. They truly aren't. And it's a very deceptive thing. In 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy in chapter 4, in verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now I want you to look at that for a second. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, and we're in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. It's also called the apostasy, falling away. They'll leave the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's a caution. That's a warning to us. Deceiving spirits. Spirits of the enemy are very deceptive. They'll use all kinds of means to deceive you. They'll use the Word of God twisted just a little bit. And the truth is, twisted truth is not truth at all. Amen. Doctrines of demons. Doctrines, we hear all sorts of doctrines today that sound good. They may even feel good and be sensible to our mind. But if we compare them with the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, we will see there's a difference there. There's a difference there. In 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, and verse 13, he says this, "Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Imposters. You know what an imposter is? You know, it's someone pretending to be someone else or something else. And he clearly says that they will, and it will grow worse in the times we're in, and they will be deceiving people and being deceived. In other words, they're deceived themselves. They themselves are deceived. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 3 through 5, he says these words, "For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine." The time is here. There's a lot of places in the church and a lot of times and people in the church where they don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear truth because it simply doesn't match up with what they desire or their lifestyle. And we have to be cautious because it can happen to any one of us. I see it. I've experienced it. When you speak truth to someone, it's rejected. "For the time will come when they no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." You know what fables are? Lies. It's another word for lies. So they won't want to hear truth, but he says they will heap up for themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. And they will turn their ears from truth and hear what they want to hear. And they'll be turned aside. They'll turn away from truth to fables or lies. And the lies clearly come from the father of lies, the devil, Satan. And then he tells us in verse 5, "But you..." See, he's speaking to Christians. This is written to the church. "But you, church, be watchful in a few things." All things. Do you see? Do you see how easy deception can come? I'm glad you caught that. You see, be watchful in all things. What does all things mean? It's whatever, right? And do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. The key here is be watchful. All the word that we're getting today is to be watchful, to be discerning, to be careful, because deception is not always an in-your-face thing. Many times, and most times, it's very subtle. It comes in little bits and pieces. You know, it's like the process of, you've probably heard this old tale about boiling a frog. You put a frog in a pot of water and you turn the heat up slowly. And he stays in there until all of a sudden he adjusts to the temperature until all of a sudden he's boiling. And you see, it's the same thing in deception in the spirit world. It can be small and subtle things that build and build. And the next thing you know, deceit is in full swing in a person's life. And then they believe a lie rather than believing the truth. In the first, I want us to look at that just for a minute in verse 3 of chapter 4, he says, of 2 Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." What is sound doctrine? It's the Word. It's the Word, and it's the biblical principles that God gives us for the church and for our own lives to live by. It's sound doctrine. And what you see here is the struggle that's always there, and the devil takes advantage of it. It's the struggle between sound doctrine and our own desires. Because that's what gets us in trouble, is our own desires. Did I hear an amen? I heard an amen. A little quiet amen. It's true. Our own desires get us into trouble. And so there's this struggle between sound doctrine and our own desires. And a lot of times when sound doctrine is presented to people, it's not received. And it's because of their own desires. They desire something else more than they desire sound doctrine. In verse 4, he says, "And they will turn their ears away from the truth." They'll stop listening to truth and be turned away to fables, to lies. And again, this was a struggle for me preparing this, because really, you know, we look at this and we think of these things and we try to separate it from the church and say all this is going on in the world. But the truth is, it's not. It's going on in the church. And that's why I struggle, because I'm one that have never run down other pastors or put down other churches. I just don't do that. But there comes a point in time when truth is truth, and sometimes the truth is not comfortable. But the truth is, this is going on in the church today. Yes. It's going on in the church today. And we've seen in the last year or so, you know, some of the biggest names in Christianity, things exposed, and they've fallen. And it's sad. It's sad because for an unbelieving world, it really just puts a stumbling block between them and God. And it's a sad thing. It's nothing to be happy about at all or glad about. And he says in verse 5, "But you be watchful in all things." And that's what he's asking us to be watchful in all things. Because, you know, in the world we live in today, there are so many things that are presented out there. And they're presented in much of it in the political realm. That sound good, and people try to make it sound good, and you know, it's like the woke thing. You know, it's taking a cause for something that's twisted. It's not truth. It's fables. It's lies. And how do we test those spirits? Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But false teachers and preachers are prevalent in our world today. And many believers are following them and accepting some new revelation that conflicts with the Word of God. And it leads people to actually unconsciously opposing God's word in the church with twisted truths. In Matthew 23, we read these words in verse 27. Woe, and Jesus was speaking this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You see, it wasn't any different in Jesus' time. We think the world has evolved into this. It has evolved from this just to a deeper degree, a larger degree. And so he says, and that's what he's describing. He was describing the scribes and the Pharisees on the outside looking great, but really calling them whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones, meaning dead spiritually. So how do you test the spirits? How do you test the spirits? I'm going to give you a couple of things this morning I hope will help you. And the first thing is to discern their character. And let me tell you this. You're going to hear the word discern a lot. And that's where we miss it, is because we don't have a discerning spirit. And you can only have a discerning spirit if you know God's word, because God's word is the plumb line. It's the measuring line for everything else. Yes. So discern their character. Do you see some fruit of the Spirit in their lives? Are they willing to speak against sin? The second thing is discern motives. Discern motives. Do they seek to honor Jesus? And I'm not talking about just preachers and teachers. We're talking about people. Okay? We're talking about everyone. So I want to make sure you don't miss that. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about the church, because this is written to the church. Do they seek to honor Jesus? Are they helping lead the church to be set apart from the world? Or are they bringing the world into the church? Do they seek to save the lost? Or do they just want to give and hear feel-good messages? Do they proclaim the gospel? Colossians 2:8, we read these words, Beware lest anyone teach you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. You see, all through Scripture, we're warned and cautioned to be watchful. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you. And the word there means take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. Another thing we need to do is test the fruit in their message. What are people speaking? What are you hearing people speaking? If you're in a small group, a Bible study, or you're in a church somewhere, what are they speaking? What are they speaking? Is there fruit in the message, or are they taking Scripture and trying to water it down to fit a comfort zone? And the reason people want things at times watered down, or our preachers or teachers water things down, because it's a way to avoid conviction. A way to avoid conviction. And none of us like conviction, but conviction is good and healthy for our spirit when it comes from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what the Word of God does. It teaches, it corrects, it trains, it gives life. Another thing is to discern discern their reliance on Scripture. Do you know people, the people that you are in contact with, the people that you listen to giving a word, are they, do you discern that they're relying on Scripture, or are they just telling feel-good things? Because you'll see a lot of that today. You'll see a lot of that today. A lot of feel-good messages that everything's okay and God is love and He is and we're all one big happy family. Why sin is rampant in the church. We have to discern. Are they relying on Scripture? Are the messages that you're hearing in your small group, the messages that you're hearing if you're listening to someone on TV or you're listening to in a church service, are those messages based on Scripture? That's another way to test the spirits. 2 John and 2 John and 9:11 says this. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Think about that. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. That's pretty plain. I don't need to elaborate on it. I think it's pretty clear. He says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him. Don't receive false doctrine. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Don't receive false doctrine. Because it will deceive you. It will deceive you if you listen long enough. You see, and the last thing is I want to share with you is to test, when you're testing the spirits, test integrity in regards to the Lord's money. Test integrity in regards to the Lord's money. You know, we have a high level of an integrity here when it comes to money, a high level. But we see, if you look around, you can see a lot of, it's hard to describe, but a lot of ways that I believe that it's misconstrued, it's used and abused in luxuries and all sorts of things. And, you know, and I'm talking primarily now to pastors and ministers. And, you know, you have to be discerning when it comes to financial integrity. And there's a lot of things that's happening in the church and around church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the church at large, where, you know, there's nothing wrong. We want to do things with excellence here, in the things we do with excellence and honor God with excellence. But there's also exorbitance in a lot of ways and things that I believe that many people, many speakers of the gospel abuse that area. And you need to be discerned. You know, we can't discern 100% of the time. As we read scripture earlier, you know, Satan himself transforms into an angel of light. But we can be very discerning and not follow deceptive, twisted truth. In time, God will expose Satan and his messengers, even though we may be able not to detect them at the time. But even though you may not be able to detect them at the time, the only way you're going to be able to discern, this is the bottom line, folks, if you're not familiar with God's word, you won't be able to discern. You won't be able to test the spirits. You have to be familiar with God's word. And that means if you're filling yourself with truth, you're going to recognize it most often when it's not truth. But you have to be filling yourself with truth. It's like the analogy of I've heard someone use before with banks and tellers and money. They don't examine counterfeit money to recognize it when they see it. They're just always looking at real money, and they know what the real bills look like. So when a false one hits, it pops out. Well, it's the same way with God's word. If we fill ourselves with God's word, then when something that's contrary to God's word pops up, we may not be able to define it, but we'll have a check in our spirit. We'll have a check in our spirit at the very least. At the very least. So, as he says, you know, test the spirits. Test the spirits. And that's what he wants us to do in these times and these days we're in. We have to be testing the spirits. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Worship team, would you come? You know, testing the spirits is sometimes we look at things and we're not sure, or we don't recognize, or we do and we know something's wrong. The main thing is to be able to discern when it's truth and when it's not truth. Father, I pray today that for this church, we would be able to test the spirits. I pray that people will, in the days we're in, will be driven deeper and deeper into God's word, so that they will be able to recognize truth from false, truth of God's word against false, twisted truth, which is not truth at all. God, help us not to be deceived in these last days, but help us to be watchful, be aware, be conscious of what's going on around us, be conscious of the spirit world that is everywhere and active. Most of all, God, that we would know your truth from your word. And that through your Holy Spirit and the revelation of your Holy Spirit and your word, we would be able to test the spirits. And we would be watchful in all things, so that we can continue to build the kingdom as Jesus waits to return. God, help us to be a part of building the kingdom here and now, through testing spirits and living and breathing on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.